Well, good afternoon to everyone on another beautiful Sabbath day. I talked to Mr. Eckermer earlier and I said, is it acceptings and two closings? And he said, you mean you have them? I said, I'll have them. Something. Well, it'll be a little different, but I'll wade you through it. I'll put it that way. First of all, before we get into better, I wanted to just share some of my thoughts to everyone, and thinking back that I'm 93 and counting every day, and not knowing how many days and how many hours, but that's part of all of us. We just don't know, do we, brethren? But it reminded me of what Solomon mentioned there in Ecclesiastes. He said, there's a time to live and a time to die. There's a time to build up. There's a time to tear down, to rejoice, and there's a time to be mournful. There's a time to mend, and there's a time to cast it away. And so, brethren, let's add one more to that list of Solomon. There's also a time to, and we were able to see that, a wonderful, wonderful thing. I look back on the 93 years and just a few short things, and we'll go on from there. God really blessed my family, gave me a wife of 67 years, and he gave us a son of 18 years, and he gave me a godson. And all of these fit into that. All of those fit into that. And besides that, brethren, God gave me all of you 14 children plus one as part of the family that we have right here in the Morton congregation. And so 93 years, you think back, brethren, when you get up in age, you look back and you begin to sort of reminisce and think about some things of what you've done and what you shouldn't have done and what you could have done better, and that's all part of living. So going through that many years, we know that we have gone through or go through many time changes in life. Some of them are good and some of them are bad. Like I said, some of them, as we heard in a sermonette, that some of them could have been better, and some of them, sorry that they want more of them better than what they were. And so I look back and I see back. I look back on all those years. I go all the way back. Go all the way back. Born in 1930, and by 1935 I begin to realize there's environment around me. But I look back and I see, brethren, I see then a stability that we don't see today. And we hear of the things just like Maui, Hawaii. We've been there. It's hard to believe that had that kind of devastation. And not only there, but other places. One devastation after another. So we see there are troubles. Now, we know that there have always been troubles, but we know now it's at our doorstep. We know back in Israel, 4,000, 5,000 years ago, the problems that God went through with Israel back then. Go through the Lamentations and see how Israel was conducting their behavior back then. And we see that's a mirror of what America is going through today. I look back and I see some of the things that were really quite interesting. Last night I went out at midnight to see the stars, and I wanted to see if I could see the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. I'm not for sure if I saw it or not. But anyway, I remember in 1950 in school, I was a freshman at that time. Some of you weren't born at that time, but anyway, our social study teacher always opened the class by asking different ones each day to read certain verses out of scriptures. How many of you have experienced that? That you had a social teacher that opened the class by reading verses out of the Word of God? How many? And then to add on to that, at baccalaureate or graduation, they always had prayer. How many here? I remember going to a graduation for one of you here in this room, and one of the seniors graduated did a somersault in his graduation gown. And, you know, back then, foolishness already. And so it goes in that part. And and I also remember in 1940 being on the farm in Indiana at night in the summertime. We could look north and we could see the northern lights. Now, you have a different name for it today, but with me at that time, it was the northern lights. We could see the northern lights. How many of you, I don't mean going to Alaska or seeing a movie, but living where you were, how many of you have been able to look north and see in the summertime the northern lights? Northern lights. Not many, but some were able to see it. You can't see it today because all the lights of Chicago just block it out. But those are things that we were able to experience and able to see at that time. And as kids, boy, we were excited. See all those, that the light would just explode in size, then it would go down and back up again, and watching all of that. And so, as I said, we can look back in the Old Testament times, and we've seen a lot of problems, a lot of bloodshed. And we see the time where God spoke to Abram, as we know as Abraham, so I'll refer to him as Abraham. And God, through all these troubles and all the problems of Israel and all the problems today, God still has patiently put up with it because he told Abraham, you're going to multiply. You're going to be many people on this land. And so God has had to be very patient with the human race on this earth to carry out his plan for Abraham. And so we have seen changes. I saw changes 93 years, but the changes back then through my life up until fairly recent years was very slow. Today, you see them so fast. You buy a cell phone, that's obsolete already, iPhone or whatever. And just before the year's up with, how many changes within that particular electronic gadget and how fast and that part. But it's so much is within that particular item. We saw changes in agriculture, changes in production, changes in manufacturing, but they were gradual changes. Today, so much different. And so our children today are seeing changes, very rapid changes in technology, very rapid changes, and they're having to deal with that. I was reading, now enough that you can't measure it. Technically, really, you can't, and you cannot weigh it. It's not there to be weighed. is not there to be weighed. Now, I could pick up this Bible and I could say, well, you can measure it and you can weigh it, but there's something in here weigh. It's like the Apostle Paul said to the brethren in Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the essence of things not seen, cannot see. There's something in here it's something you have to believe it, and you have to understand it, and you have to believe that God will fulfill his very word of God. And so here was Job addressing two different things in the book, in this particular chapter. For mankind to look at and to consider. Before we go to the book of Job, see, I haven't told you what chapter yet, have I? I don't want you to read ahead. I don't want you to look ahead. I want you to let Job lead us through, beginning with chapter. And you go all the way through and begin to see what Job is talking about. So, brethren, we can turn to Job chapter 28. Now, don't read ahead and don't look ahead. We go verse by verse. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And so here, Job said, surely there is a mine for silver and a place in verse 1 where gold is remained from and it can be taken from it. He said, there's a place in the earth that houses or keeps silver and gold, both of them. And God has put it there. And I wondered a little bit. I said, I wonder if the Father turned to the Son and said, let's put gold and silver and bronze and many other things, precious, into the earth. See how long it takes man to discover it. And once man does discover it, what he does with it. And so Job, interestingly, he took a physical thing, something that you could measure, something that you could weigh. And he said, now, we understand that. It's like I had a product I wanted to sell to you, and I said, I have such and such a product. I'll sell it to you for $150. I want to see it first. So man is familiar with viewing it, weighing it, or whatever, and that. I want to see it first. Then, but with God, as he told Abraham, and he said to Abraham, take your family and get you out of this land and go to this land way far off. And what did Abraham do? Well, he said, God first, I want to go there and check it out, and I'll come back and I'll let you know if I want to move or not. No, it didn't quite turn out that way. He just stood up, took his family, they were faithful to his leadership, and he went. Now, I don't know how miles, what the distance is, but Father, brethren, in one sense, when we've been asked to get up, leave our homes, and go to the Feast of Tabernacles, it's a distance. Our first feast was about 800 miles to Big Sandy, Texas. Nothing like what Abraham or Abram went through. Nothing. No comparison whatsoever. But we were, by God, commanded us to pick our families up and go to keep that feast in faith and to keep that feast. Okay, as we continue on here. In verse 2, then, Job said, from it then, and from it, from the earth, it comes from the earth, and copper that smelted, and other ores, well, they come from the earth. God put them in the earth. It's interesting, isn't it, brethren? It doesn't make any difference what you show me. You can show me anything that you have. Where did it come from? It all came from the earth. It makes no difference what it is. This came from the earth. Everything came from the earth. And God has given man that to deal with. Talking about gold and silver here, in 1976, the bicentennial year, my wife and I and family went with another family. We decided, let's go west. So we went to Colorado and had a very nice trip going west. Now, while we were there, we went to this little town, this little village called Cripple Creek. Do you know where Cripple Creek is? Okay, a few hands. Cripple Creek. And it's interesting there, that little town. I think they said at one time when the gold was being discovered, its population was about 20,000. It was also the center for the latest Paris fashions for women. So if you wanted for those people in Colorado Springs, Cripple Creek is only about, I don't know, 10, 20 miles west of Colorado Springs. If they wanted the latest fashions, they'd go to Cripple Creek because gold was being struck there. When we were there, there was the Molly Mine, no longer mining gold because they made more money tourists going down and viewing it. And there was the Independence Mine. I think it's probably still operating, but I'm not real sure on that part. But anyway, a little village called Cripple Creek, and all the area around that area, they kept it and preserved it because you could see where people with their shovels and their spades were out there digging, trying to find gold. Well, it was down a little deeper than that, but they were going for it. And there was gold that was struck. And the problem with that was they started gambling or they started drinking because they struck gold and they thought, well, I have money. I have money to spare. And families were broken and just all kinds of devastation that hit society, people, because of gold, in this particular thing, because of gold. Let's continue on. In verse 3 in Job, he said, man puts an end to darkness and searches every recess for ore in the darkness and the shadow of death. And so the things that God buried in the earth, the things that are down where it's dark, and man wanted to go and mine that out and bring it up where there's daylight so they can see it. And I said, then they say, well, we have what we want. We have what we're going after. And so man searching it out, all of these precious things, gold and silver and topaz and all of the precious diamonds and pearls, all those things. Well, the pearls come from the other place. But anyway, searching those things out, they were doing that day and night to get to it because they wanted to hit their big find, their big discovery of gold. Continuing on from verse 3, we go to verse 4. And Job said, and he breaks open a shaft away from people in places forgotten by feet. And so, and they have far away from men, they sowing to and fro. So the distance, the energy and the force of strength the person goes through to make his strike, because to hit it big and to think that he has things made and everything in his shoes the way he wants it. All the things that God put in the earth, now you might say, well, you know, one thing, because throughout the Bible, it's all over the Bible, gold and silver, especially when God's house was being refurnished and rebuilt all through history. But it's what man has done with it. It's like I said earlier, I wonder if God said to his son, when man finds it, it's going to be interesting what effect it has upon mankind. Continuing on then, in verse 5, he said, as for the earth, from it comes forth bread. And so, here it is. Where does bread come from? The earth. Where, like I said, everything comes from the earth, whether it's grown on a tree or whether where. It still comes from the earth that God created. Now, we can look at God's creatures. We can look at the lions and the bears and the tigers. We can look at ostriches. We can look at all of them. And you don't hear them saying, I wonder if there's gold down there. You know, if we get out there and start scratching around, we'll find some gold down there. And the birds that fly in the air, the vultures, have some crows. You know, if I wonder if they stop when they're flying over our yard and say, hey, I wonder if there's some gold down there, or some silver we can find. There's only one thing that these creatures are interested in, and that's food. Just give us food, that's all we're interested in. That's all they understand. But Job said, all of these other precious things God made available for man to handle, to dig for, to have, and to be in their possession. See what they do. We were in verse 5. Let's see where we are now. Verse 6, he said, its stones are the source of the sapphires, and it contains gold dust. So many things. There's so much that God created and put in the earth for mankind to enjoy, to use, or to whatever mankind does with it. He said, in the path of the birds, they know, in the path of the falcons, as I mentioned. They aren't interested in, well, what if there's gold down below? They're just interested in a food for them to eat, to preserve them. I'll catch up with you here yet. Let's continue on down, because here Job is dealing. Job is just, he's putting these things before them and for us today. These are things that you can measure and you can weigh that's been put into your hands. Now, what are you doing with it? And how much are you obsessed by it? Because in the gold find, gold rushes, they became obsessed for gold. And all the problems and all the headaches and all of the sadness of the tearing apart of people and families and all down through history and in our time, our gold rush times in America. And so all of these creatures walk on it or they fly over it. And we even had American Indian who rode their horses and walked over the gold. But you see, God told Abraham, I'm going to make you a man of many people. Many people are going to be because of your faithfulness, because of what you have done, because you've stepped out and you have moved toward something that you could not see, but you obeyed me. And he said, in that, Abraham, that I'm going to bless you because of that. And so in the process of all these things that Job is talking about, the gold and the silver and the jewels and all that, it's something that God has made possible to be put into their hands. Even how man will go, how deep. Look at the ocean. Well, here we have the big mass of land called of America. On the west side, we have the Pacific Northwest. And on the east side, we have the Atlantic. In between is all this land. And God then, he squished land in between these two huge oceans and put in a lot of creeks and a lot of rivers and that to furnish and to nourish man and animal. continue on. Okay. In verse 7, he said that the path, there's no bird knows, nor is the falcon. They don't know what's down there. They don't know. Man has discovered it because man heard about it, and God, it's always been something. These two things that we're going to learn about, that Job is talking about, have always been. They've always been gold back at the very beginning. Always been gold and silver, all those precious things. Man just hadn't found all of them yet. And in verse 8, he said, the proud lions have not trodden, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. He puts his hand on the flint, and he overturns the mountains at the roots. In verse 10, he cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He dams up the streams from trickling water. And we see the Hoover Dam, don't we? Take the little streams that feed into that area, and we have what we call the Hoover Dam. And man is able and capable of doing those things. And that which is hidden brings forth to light. To get my eyes focused, and sometimes my eyes don't see the word that's down here in the paper. He said, man does not know its value. Job says, there is something else besides gold and silver. Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. And so, leave your spades and your shovels at home, because you can dig in the earth all you want to. And what is precious to God and very valuable to mankind, man can't dig to find it. He said, it's not there to be found. The deep says, it is not here. You know, if you go to the oceans, or if you go to high up on the mountain, top of the mountains, and all those areas, they'll say, well, that which God is talking about that's very important and precious, you can't find it here, or it's not over there. And man is continually searching to find something that satisfies their need, satisfies their wants. And God said there is one of the big major problems. Always satisfying our wants and our needs, and not the things that are important to us. Now we'll drop on down to, it talks about then the, you know, man wants to put, man always wants, human beings, we want to put a value to it. And we'll look at it and say, boy, that's really valuable. I think I'll invest in it. But God said, I have something that you can't monetarily invest in. He said, you can take all of the onyx and all of the gold and all of the silver of the entire world. He said, we can't buy it. You know, in the New Testament, this one individual, he wanted to buy this thing where you could lay hands and heal someone. No, it's not to be. It's not that you can't buy it. You're trying to put a price, you're trying to put man's price and value in something that you can't. And so taking all the nations, I said, on the face of this earth, and adding up all of the gold and silver, the onyx, the iron, the precious things, the value, if you want to put it, is way above it, God, above that. Continuing on, we're over. Let's go over to, we'll drop down to verse 21. He said, it is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of... So God and Christ, they even hid it from us as human beings. And it was hidden from all of the creatures below the ocean or or high up in the mountains. And he said it was hidden from mankind also. And as I said before, but finds it. Sit back and let's watch. Sit back and God and the Father and the Son must have had a time of. They must have sometimes just sat back and laughed. He said, "Now look at those people. Look at the extent that they will go to buy something that you can weigh. Buy something you can weigh and you can measure it. They can just get their hands on more of it." But we have something that has a different value than that. Continuing on, now through history also mankind has heard about some of these gifts from God. They've heard about it, and they started searching into it. I want to know more about it, and all of a sudden, it required a commitment that mankind said, "I can't do it. I can't do it." Remember in Christ's times, there were certain disciples when he said, this in this Passover, so the symbolism, this wine is symbolic of my blood. This bread is symbolic of my body. Well, there's some of them looked at it like, I'm not going to. Why, if all of us started taking the blood of Christ, he'd die. Or if we'd take our knives and cut off his flesh, why, that'd kill him also. See, symbolic. And they couldn't, you see, they didn't, the common sense was not there. If it was, they were not using it. And and so they said it was too much for them because they didn't have common sense understanding what Christ was talking about and what Christ really was offering them. It's interesting the things that man tries to measure, isn't it? For instance, how do you measure wind? What's the weight of wind? You can feel it, but you can't see it. But man, if they could just see something, if they could just see that probably there are people today that are probably wondering, if we could just do something to the atmosphere that we could finally see the wind and we could weigh it, the way of man and the way that man thinks. Continuing on down in verse 25, to establish weight for the wind, again, like I mentioned, and to meter out the waters and measure and the paths for the thunderbolt. All of these things that man wants to know more about. So what is it that Job is talking about now? The thing that is so important to God. And God wants us to know that it's that important to us. Let's go back to verse 12 in Job chapter 28. He said, "But where can wisdom be found?" So Job starts narrowing in the important things in God's eyes that are good for mankind. Where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Dropping down to verse 18, he said, "For the price of wisdom is above rubies." He said, if you want to put a price on it, it's way above all the collect all the rubies in the whole world, and it can't equal to what wisdom is, the price of what wisdom is. In verse 20, "From where does wisdom come from, and where is the place of understanding?" To dropping on down then to verse 27. "Then he saw wisdom and declared he prepared it. And indeed, he searched it out And to man he said, behold, fear God. That's wisdom. Fear God. Fear to disobey God. You're getting spiritual smarts up here. The smart tone is coming on. And he said, to turn away from evil. He said, well, now you're understanding. When you turn away from evil, you're spending your time to understand truth. Now you begin to understand what things are valuable, what things are valuable in God's eyes. Hold your page there, but let's go to Psalm 110, verse 111, verse 10. Again, David said in the Psalms, he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so back in the Psalms, it was already understood, to fear God, to fear, disobey God, it begins wisdom. And a good understanding, and a good understanding have those who do his commandments. And so David, or not David, but Job, he begins introducing physical things because he knew that man understands physical things, and he knew that man likes to measure things and weigh things out and see what the value is. But he said God has something that's you can't put a value on it. You can't put a price on it. It's above all things and that. As I mentioned earlier, too, man desires, they want more wisdom and more understanding, but they aren't willing to pay the price, if you can put a price on it. They're not willing to commit themselves to be able to come about having wisdom and understanding. It's too demanding. Too demanding, man says. Too demanding. So the things that are valuable, that God is important and valuable to us, are the things that Job is talking about here. To fear God and to depart from evil. And so, brethren, we know now, you see, I didn't give a title to my sermon. We now found out what it is. How to get wisdom and how to get understanding. To fear God and to keep. Do something about it. So, located a company and they sent out two men Thursday. The one man did most of the just tearing apart all of the part of the woodwork, the framework of these windows, just tearing everything out and all that rotten wood was there. And the other man together. And I was watching him and I said, do you ever see many of these rotten jobs like this? He said, all the time. All the time I see rotten jobs like this. But what caught my attention, and I sat there and I watched him until it was over. It just having to do with anything. But I watched him measure vertical and horizontal. He'd write it down in his paper. He'd go into his great big van or big trailer. He had everything inside of there where he could cut and whatever, whatever. And then one time he came back with a handful of 2x4s. What on earth are you going to do with 8 2x4s about that long, each one of them. And he studied and looked at the framework of these two windows. Yeah, this goes here, and this goes here, and this here, and this here. And he had some 1x4s, and this goes over here. And he started putting those. I thought, all there was just some rotten wood, timber before, and they tore it all out and ripped it all out. And here he was, step by step, he was putting that framework together to fit those two windows into. And I watched him do that step by step, and I could see that he really, really loved what he was doing. And he did that, each thing, as he put each thing into its place. And when it was all said and done, he then fit the two windows in, and then he then began to measure to make sure that they were just right this way and that way and up and down. And all the empty spaces he insulated with all kinds of insulation. And he got it all put together. And he put back, not put back, but formed new aluminum to frame up everything. And I sat there. I look at that every time I go out in that deck. I look at that and I said, what a work of art, that man. He says, I deal with rotten jobs all the time. But when he gets through to stand back and look at that, he must say to himself, this is why I enjoy doing this. And so what does that have to do with us? Well, brother, we've already heard that the Feast of Tabernacles, the Holy Fall Feast are coming up, and the Feast of Tabernacles is coming up. Challenged us in the sermonette. What do you think we're going to be doing? A lot of different things. But what do you think a lot of those things we're going to be doing? In the world tomorrow, in the kingdom, we're going to be sitting down, working with those individuals that have come through horrible experiences. And we're seeing more horrible experiences. We saw Maui, Hawaii. How could that happen there? And other places around this world, other countries that are not friends of ours, the problems that are rising up more and more. But we're going to be working with those people, and what are we going to be doing with them? We're going to be helping them, piece by piece, putting their lives together. Just like that man did with our four windows at our property. Piece by piece, he put it together, and when it was finished, wow, man, is that something? Is that something? And that we have that opportunity in the world tomorrow. Again, to work with people and put together, to help them put together their lives piece by piece. And so why are we going to the feast? Why are we going to those holy days? We're going there to get wisdom and to get understanding. Thank you, brethren. That's my second conclusion.